Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Isn't it great to have Pastor Len back? Praise the Lord, Pastor Len.
Wish you'd stop doing that. Wow. Gets me emotional. I grew up in a family of four boys. Well, five, but one was killed. But, you know, like, so there's a lot of testosterone in the house. So it was like, you know, people shooting each other in the living room and that kind of stuff. So we were not allowed to cry. So it's like, stop, will you please stop with that stuff? Well, can I preach with my eyes closed this morning? That would be really good, because I can't look at everybody. And I'll do all right. God's okay. God's okay? Amen. Yeah, come on. A blessed life. My name's Len. For those of you that may be visiting here this morning, you've never seen me before. I'm one of the pastors here in this church. I've been gone for a few months now. My wife is in the Middle East. I don't want to jeopardize because she's still there. So I don't want to do that. So I hope you understand what that's all about. I can tell you, though, that I do love my wife. I keep falling in love with her over and over again, and I love him. I love him more than I ever have. And this morning I want to talk about a blessed life. 37 years ago, I had no idea what I was getting into. And I can tell you what I got into was a blessed life. You've heard me talk before about a little typing error I made in one of my messages one time, and I was speaking on something, and when I typed, I didn't hit the O, I hit the I, and I hit in something. Would you want me to speak on love or in love? Would you want me to speak on the glory or in the glory? Would you want me to speak on revival or in revival? How about on the fire or in the fire? How about on Jesus or in Jesus? We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Alive in him. He's the glory of, we're the glory of God in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, guess what, folks? I preach beyond myself. That's okay. We're allowed to do that. But can I tell you something? If you'll listen to this message this morning, I'm not speaking on the blessed life. I'm speaking in the blessed life. Okay? All right. You know, so many of us, well, let's bring up this first point. I love our guys back there, ladies and gentlemen. Like, they are so critical to everything that's going on. You do not believe what that's all about. But do you feel satisfied? I don't know, like, some of you are here maybe for the first time. Some of you have never been here before. Some of you are going already. Where's the door? I'm scared, this guy here. You know, I know there's people here checking us out. You know, that just happens. People check us out. But I really hope and pray that you check in too. You know, we're not just called to believe, we're called to belong. Welcome to this family called Bethel. Here we love Jesus, I hope. But you may be here this morning. I don't care if you've been, this is your home, you've been here for a long time or a short time, or you're just visiting. You know, do you feel satisfied? I'm not talking about you're disgruntled or you're dissatisfied. I'm just talking about are you unsatisfied? There's a song, it was one of my wife's songs that launched her out into her ministry overseas. I'm full, but I'm not satisfied. Well, folks, part of that answer to that question comes through what I'm going to talk about here this morning, a blessed life. Some of you have never had the power of a blessing over your life. I grew up in a family that didn't have a lot to do about the kingdom or about the Bible or about Jesus or about any of that stuff. So I grew up, some of you maybe never heard, I don't know how many men I've had in my office come through the years and said, I just wish once my dad would have said, I'm proud of you, son. Or came and, or they would say, he never even came to my graduation. Or I've had somebody come to me in high school and say, his father came to him and said, you're never going to amount to anything. I have a friend, she's a girl, her biological father, when she was talking about the wedding dress that she was going to have for her wedding, she was 14 years old. Her biological father turned to her and said, do you really think somebody's going to marry you? Do you think anybody could love you? That's not a fake story. That's a real story. Thankfully, the story didn't end there. She got healed through the Father in heaven who blessed her and speaks life over her. She's happily married today, all right? But we can go through those kinds of things. And so what happens is we set out to prove something to someone who's dead. We try to prove, I'm going to amount to something now. And it's the wrong motivation. We start to hold grudges and we get offended and we get bitter and we walk in all kinds of revenge. So, So look at the ones that are closest to you. They're the ones who are supposed to speak blessing over your lives. My wife, I grew up in an unsaved home. My wife grew up in a very saved home, and everybody's saved. This is beautiful. And my family, they're beautiful too, and I'm believing for all that God has for them. But when her father was passing away, she wanted to be there. She wanted to receive his anointing. She wanted to get his blessing from him. So she went down there for a month, just wanted to draw pull on that blessing, pull on that anointing. So it's wonderful. Now, we just went through Easter. Hallelujah. Come on, folks. We just went through the empty tomb. We went through death's been conquered. We went through a grave is empty. Now, I'm a Pentecostal. And I don't apologize for that. Thank God I stumbled into a Pentecostal in my drunken stupor and my drugged out stupor and ended up in a Pentecostal church because I don't think I was wired for anything else. But just the way it is. But after that, we want to skip right through to the book of Acts, right? We just got the resurrection and now we go right through the book of Acts and don't turn there. I'm just going to read the story. We'll get to that in a moment. Just leave that right where you are right there. That's awesome. Well, let me just read that. What happened in the book of Acts. Oh, there was a period of 40 days. Remember, there's some of you would know that there was 500 people raised from the dead. Can you remember that? Like Jesus, 500 people, more than 500 raised from the dead. Oh, look, there's Uncle Fred. He's been dead for 2 years. What's he doing walking down into that? Just picture that, you guys. This is a real story. So a period of 40 days, and I'm just quoting scripture. This is what Jesus says to the disciples. Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father that my Father promised. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So he's talking to them now. This is what's going to go on. And guess what the disciples' response was? When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They just got told that Christmas is coming. There's a gift of the Father coming here. They just got told the fire's coming. They just called, I'm going, but the fire's coming. And they're going, when are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? I'm just quoting scripture here. Now, the next verse goes like this. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Amen? Amen? In Libya. It's interesting. When we get together in a prayer meeting, we get together and we pray, thank God for Canada. Thank God we're in a country we're free to what? Worship. How come we never pray, thank God we're in a country we're free to witness? Yeah, I know that's good. Thanks, Ray. Where are you leaving? I just need someone to say amen to me. It's like saying sick him to a dog. It's okay. Come on. Okay, so here we go. So you're going to receive power, okay? Same author. The guy who wrote the book of Acts is also the guy who wrote the book of Luke. Something happened before the fire fell. Remember Reinhard Bonnke, tongues of fire? We should be greeting each other like this. Whoa, wow. Tongues of fire! That's biblical. What are you guys all? I did say I was a Pentecostal, right? All right. Okay, let's just forget about that. Yeah. I want to shy. I want to create a Bible that's got perforated edges so people can just tear up pages they don't like, right? It'd be a bestseller, honest to God. But this is what Jesus said. Okay, you're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to be witnesses. By the way, in John chapter 4, we talk about on the end. Oh, in John chapter 14, he says, oh yeah, the Spirit of God is with you. But guess what he says next? But he will be in you. Do you want me to speak on the Holy Spirit? It's this thing that floats around and he's one of the Trinity and hey, I don't know what he looks like. Do you want me to speak on the Holy Spirit or do you want me to speak in the Holy Spirit? Oh, glory to God. Yeah, come on, folks. But after that, somebody's thinking, why didn't he just stay over there, man? After that, he's you're going to receive power, but this is what it says. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes. So after the resurrection, before the fire fell, something happened. What was that? The ascension. And let's look at something here that you will not believe is in the ascension. Can we bring up these verses? Luke chapter 24, same author as Acts, Luke. Verses 49, welcome. Hey, honey, are you listening to this? Hi. Ooh, I like what you're wearing. Looks good. Did you get your hair cut? And all you other people out there, too. Sorry, I got distracted. Luke 24, verses 49 to 53. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. When he led them up out of the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and he what? Do you see this? Do you see this? In case you don't, and he what? Help me out here. And he what? Okay, in case we missed that. And while he was blessing, he repeats himself. Holy Spirit had a stutter. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Here is the picture of Jesus being taken up into heaven. And this is the picture that's left us. He blessed them. And as he's ascending, he's blessing them. Now it's already 11:03. I don't have the time, but so maybe just bring up this verse and I'm going to come right back to this, but I want to get this. Can we bring up the next point there? Of course, when they did that, they were all received great joy and they went back and they just praised the Lord. They just praised the Lord. They were in the temple all day long just praising God. What a great way to end the book of Luke. What a great way to end the life, just praising God. Amen? Just praising God. When someone gave this to me, I don't know where it came from, but it came from the Holy Ghost, I guess. When you enter his presence with praise, he enters our circumstances with what?
Power.
Power. Yeah, resurrection power, folks. Amen. Hell, we serve a resurrected Christ, and because we serve a resurrected Christ, we're resurrection people. Amen. I want to be defined by the resurrection. I don't want to be defined by the world or what the world says I am or says you are or what your future's all about. I want to be defined by the resurrection. I want to get in line with the good news. I want to be on the side. I want to be on that side of the good news that says Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the way, he's the truth, and he's the life. And as we enter praise, you know what? Knowledge. You know what knowledge does? It causes you to think. It causes you to think. Now, I come from an engineering background. I don't mind thinking. That don't ever. I like what Robbie says. You know, I want believers to think, and thinkers to believe. Amen. You don't check your brains at the door, but knowledge causes you to think. But you know where you can't make people worship God. You know what makes people worship God? Revelation. When you get a revelation of his love, a revelation of his forgiveness, get a revelation of the life that God gave you, guess what, folks? It's just out of that comes a spontaneous desire to worship God, whatever that looks like. It just flows out of that, a revelation of him, okay? So now let's go back to the last picture of Jesus. Remember? Blessing them, blessing them, blessing them. Powerful. I mean, the last picture I have of my father at the train station in Geraldton, Ontario, while I'm going out to Alberta, he looks me in the eye and says, son, you got to trust people. And all we ever talked about was the weather. I mean, or fishing or hunting or sports. It was hockey back then. I don't even know what hockey, I know what cricket is now, but I don't know anything about hockey. So. Sorry, all you Boston, Toronto fans or whoever you are. I remember this picture of my father, this last picture, beautiful. how many know that these last pictures are something that's very significant, something important? You know, I remember, Art Lennis. Is Art here today? I remember Art. We're at the. Me and Pastor Phil are over at the hospital, and the chaplain's there, and his wife Marg passes away, and he said, "Do you want us to leave now?" The chaplain says, "Do you want us to leave, Art, so that you can just say your last goodbyes to your wife?" And Art turns, and she's just withered away by disease and just skin and bones. And he looks at the chaplain, and he goes, "I'm not saying goodbye." And he turns and grabs his wife by the hand, and he says, "I'll see you later, beautiful. I'll know where to find you." And then he calls me that night, and he said, "When I got home, you know what the first thing I did, Len? I fell to my knees, and I lifted my hands in the air, and I said, 'Thank you, Jesus, for 43 beautiful years.'" I will never forget that. There's some things you don't forget. Look, in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jacob at the Jabbok. We wanted to go there when we were in Jordan. I went, had to renew my visa, so we're there. Jacob at the Jabbok. And you know what it says about Jacob at the Jabbok? Well, let me read this from Hebrews. It says, "By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff." Matter of fact, in Hebrews, there's only, in Isaac and Jacob, there's only two references to them in all of history, all of their history, all of the story. Guess what? Blessing. They blessed. Here we see Jesus, this last picture. Are you getting this? This last picture of Jesus, he's looking at his disciples. "I'm not going to see you guys again. The Holy Spirit's coming," but he stands there and he blesses them. Guess what the first story, guess what the first message, not the first miracle, but guess what the first message from Jesus is? It's called, I think, the Sermon on the Mount. Remember that? Oh, my word. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you that mourn, for you shall be comforted. Blessed are they that hunger, for you thirst." It just goes on and on. You're blessed, you're blessed. Not you will be blessed in heaven, but you're blessed now. That's his first message, folks. That's his first and last. Peter in Acts chapter 3, verse 26, is talking to the people and says, he's going to bless you at first, the seed of Abraham, the servant of Abraham. He's going to bless you. His heart is to bless you. His heart is to bless you. And we have to go on with this and on with this. Okay, so let's just go on to point number two now. All right, everybody still here? Blessed is not, first of all, the reference to health and wealth, but an assurance you are under the care and tender mercies of a faithful God. Okay, do you understand what I've been overseas for 4 months, and what I hear a lot of time here, that's a North American message. Noel, I was with Pastor Ricardo for, that's the poorest place I've ever been, Cagayan de Oro, Mindanao, it's the poorest place I've ever been, and Noel would nod her head. But folks, this message, I would preach there in a heartbeat. Because it's not about me, not about my experience. It's about what the Word of God says. He wants you blessed. You can live a blessed life. Folks, it's not about this. It's not just about health and wealth. It's not about all those things. It's not just about, you know, an easy life. Mary had the favor of God on her, right? Remember? He had the favor of God. Yeah. Now, some of you pregnant ladies would know, you know, I can't be pregnant. Want to see me disappear? I can't see me. Riding a donkey. Come on, man. That's the favor of God, all right? She watched everybody and her 2-year-old die. I mean, come on, folks. They don't understand. It's not about being easy. Yes, you're blessed. You know, you're blessed when someone calls upon the name of Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, as your healer, you're blessed. You know the story of Sarah and Abraham? Sarah and Abraham, I got those two right? Not pregnant, haven't had a baby, 90 years old. Guess what? God said, "I'm going to heal your wife. I'm going to heal your wife. She's going to have a baby." You know what God says? New Testament, Old Testament. This is what he said. "And I will bless her. And moreover, I will give her a son." Uh-huh. And in terms of wealth, well, again, this is not a North American message. You may think it is because I'm going to come talk about my story here for a little bit, but listen to what the Bible says. "The blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he addeth no sorrow to it." Folks, I've been here for almost 18 years. You've heard some of my stories. For 32 years of our married life, I've had every vehicle given to me. I haven't had to put one penny down. At one point in time, there was 3 vehicles in our yard. One was a high Sierra that a guy drove all the way up from Barrie, Ontario. I met him on the road in the Kenai. He didn't even know I was there. He stops, he walks over. He had a big, and I had a, he had a big trailer for firewood. Wow, anyway, that's another story. On the back of it, Jesus Lord, he drove a 2,000 kilometer, Jesus Lord, I just love it. So he comes over. How did he even know? It's impossible. It's impossible. He walks over, hands me the keys, and drops the keys to the truck. A high Sierra man. Every vehicle except for the last one, and that's another miracle. We've had trips to Mexico, two trips to Mexico, first-class tickets to Mexico given to us. First class, five-star. I mean, I like sleeping under the stars, especially the five-star. I mean, that's a good one. You know, come on, folks. I'm not, like seriously. And there's so, like... And it's not just the, you know, you walk into the airplane and you see all those cushy seats because you're back in the economy, back in, you know, row 56B or something like that. You know, you look back. It's not about that. Have you ever been in those first class lounges that you never get into in the airport? Hey. We've had, somebody walked up and gave my wife a ring. I never met the person before. I'm a bit of a Scotsman, so I checked the price. It was $3,500. Just for the ring. Then she gave her some earrings and a pendant, full diamond. Somebody walked, I've never met these people. Somebody came up. No, not came up. They called us on the phone. We noticed your daughter. Some of you would know our daughter. We have a daughter called Jordan. Her teeth are a little bit weird. We want to pay for that when they do the teeth thing. That guy. Sent us a check for $4,500. Well, yeah, that's a while, but you never know what happened to me. I was reading a story in Folks in the Family. Remember Dr. Dobson? The night before they called. And in that, the pastor was saying he had two teenage daughters and they both had crooked teeth and he couldn't afford to pay for their teeth. And I sat there that night and I said, God, I don't serve you for what I can ever get from you, but you're a good father. And I don't want to come to my kids ever and say, we can't afford to do that. The very night I prayed that, the very next day I got a phone call, that phone call. Come on, people. Like, seriously, it's like, give your head a shake. When we first came here, I don't know, it's like, we had an anniversary. We didn't tell people it was an anniversary. We lived on the water. We lived on the water. Kids grew up on the water, for heaven's sakes. I mean, a beach, they played down there. A boat pulls up, 80-horse Merc, 16-foot Lund, with a GPS so I could find the fish. I'm a fisherman, so I could find... I'm not a very good fisherman, so I needed a GPS to find the fish. Trolling, Minn Kota trolling motor. They pulled up with this boat, walked through hull, pulled up to our dock. They walked up to the house, and they handed the keys. The Lord says, give you this boat. And my wife goes, did you know it was anniversary? I said, no, I didn't know that, honey. When we came here, my wife was not well. She's a miracle. You've got to know the story. He walks through with her. It's just a miracle. It's impossible what she's doing. She couldn't even drive to come here when we moved here. Someone else had to drive the vehicle. But anyway, somebody came up to the vehicle and handed them what they believe was from the Lord. It was from Jeremiah 29. Oh, no, not verse 11. Plans and promise I have towards you, plans of future and hope. No, it was the verse before that. Pray for the peace and prosperity of the city that you're going to. Because if it prospers, you will prosper. The people of God, there's a connection. I pray for Feast of Insurance. I pray for your business startups. Every City Hall Tuesday. I pray every chance I get. That's a mandate from on my life to do that. Anyways, boy, we got 5 minutes to go here, and I haven't even got to point number. Ay. Seriously, where are we here? Point number two. Point number three. Let's bring that up. God cannot bless a life that does not act as a channel. Let it flow. Let it flow. You know, some of you would know the story of the Dead Sea and the Red Sea. One's full of, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. One's really dead, one's full of life, right? Both have the same water coming in, one flows out. When we were in Jordan, we went to Mount Nebo, looking out over Moses, looked out over saw the promised land, if you know that story. And then we rented a car because I didn't want to follow some tour guide. I want to do my own thing, rebel. But anyhow, driving down the east side of the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. I got pulled over by the police for speeding three times. I just smiled and pointed at the thing and looked like I did the Jordan, bat my eyes like. No, they just showed me how much the fine was going to be, and they asked me where I was from. And when I said Canada, they smiled and said, "Have a good day." Let it flow. Let it flow. All right. I can't. Let's bring up this verse. I got to go through this really. The authority has been given to shift the atmosphere and culture of our homes, the marketplace, the city, and the nation. Did you get that? Let's bring up this verse from Proverbs chapter 11, verse 11. Through the blessing of the upright, a city, Brandon, your city, Rivers, Rapid City, Wauwanisa, Sioux Valley, a city is exalted, and by the mouth of the wicked it is destroyed. Bloody Brandon, I don't know what I'm stuck in this town for. Bless! You can shift the culture of the town. You can shift the culture. Oh, boy, I've been to this Bethel a few times. They're not, how long have you been coming? Well, a couple months now. But they're not really very loving people. Well, it should be. You're here. Make a difference. Start loving somebody. Jesus, help us. You can bless your homes. We call our kids blessed and favored. When my wife, she had 23 hours of labor under her belly, and then she was going in for one of those C-section. I finally got it right. And we're wailing down the aisle, and we got like four doctors and three nurses, and they're all at this entourage. And Edie's looking at me, and she's holding my hand, and she's going, "Len, I need a verse." I said, "I've been giving you verses, baby." She's like, "I need another verse." This is 30 years ago, long before we heard of the prayer of Jabez. And I opened that Bible up, and guess where it opened to? 1 Chronicles chapter 4, all those genealogies. And I'm looking, and there's, and they named him Jabez because they birthed him. I think I found the verse. That you would bless me, and that you would bless me indeed. That you would enlarge my territories, that your hand would be with him. And that you would keep them from harm, they would free from pain. I pray that every day over our kids. I pray that they would be blessed. I pray that they walk in the freedom, and that God would give them level paths for their feet, that God would open their doors, that they would walk in the career and the calling of God, that their health would break forth, that anything that hinders or holds them back or halts them, we just release them into the very power and presence of God. I pray for their spouses if they're going to be married. I pray, God, you would bless them and you would honor and you would walk. Any word over my son, any word over my daughter that's a fiery dart, that's a curse that makes them feel less than the fine young man that you are, Josiah. I break that thing off in Jesus. I speak blessing over my kids. Oh, you dirty old rat, how come you only got a D in school? Wouldn't you play hockey a little bit better than that? Trying to make them live out your dream. Let them live out God's dream. Let them walk in that blessing. Speak that. You can do that. Okay. Oh, yeah. Time's up. What are we going to do? I don't know. I want to get to the end here because this is pretty cool. So let's roll through this and I'll figure it out as we go. Okay, quick. Can you just push the button there? Where are we here? We bless someone when we become a channel the Lord uses to set them free. Oh, have I got a good story for you? Another time. We have an opportunity to tell people about Jesus. To introduce them to a life that matters. That's our vision statement here at Bethel. introduce them to a journey, like the adventure of a lifetime. Whoa! Okay, next one. I thought we were going to move fast. We let the blessing flow when we live together in unity. Oh, let's bring this verse up. Yeah, I better. Pastor Gordon, are you still okay? Okay. Now, what choice has he got, right? Like, I mean, everybody's through him. Like, yeah, poor guy. Look at this. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There Jehovah commanded the blessing. So it comes back on you. Oh, boy. Well, Pastor Mike Davis, well, now that was a man. Now, this Pastor Gordon, I guess I got to put up with him, tolerate him. Yeah, folks, don't give life to your past. Stop it. Dwell. Be unified with the future and the hope that God has for you. For heaven's sakes, you're part of a family. Don't go whine. Oh, that drummer was too loud this morning. You see a piece of paper, pick it up for heaven's sakes. My. Do you know where your love most comes alive? When all the stuff that doesn't matter anymore. Are you paying attention to me? Have you ever seen a tweet that came when the Twin Towers was falling down? Oh, I really wish my kids would get their act together. I wish you would have made it into grad school. Oh, when Flight 73 went down. Oh, Donald Trump. It's his fault. What do they say? Tell him I love him. Honey, I love you. The commercial during the football. You knew I was going to get that in there. Super Bowl. Google has this app that translates all your languages. 100 billion words. Guess what they are? Thank you, I think, number one. How are you is number two. And guess what number three is? I love you. How about walking into this church? People walking in here say, boy, they really love each other here. People are looking for kindness. Man, in the world, we're just looking for some kindness. Let this be a, we can create a culture. You can be part of that. You can like, all right, quick, let's go on. Oh, Jesus, how am I going to do this? That next one. Let the blessing flow by adding value. Bring up the verse here. Mother's Day is coming. Listen to this. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. Proverbs 31 and 11. Amen. Do you know you ladies? You know, because the Bible calls you a helpmate. You get all wiggly inside. You'll help me. I don't really like. Think about what that really means, though. You know, the word helpmate appears 17 times in the Old Testament. Twice it's referring to the woman. Guess what he refers to the other 15 times? God. In other words, God's saying, you know that dingbat? He needs somebody like me to stand beside him and help him out. And what does it say in Proverbs 31? And they will rise up and they will call her blessed. And her husband will do the same. All right, let's go to the point. Let's roll through this. I'm way too long here. Keep going. Point number six, you'll find it in there. God made his choice to perfect. God made his choice 2,000 years ago. Now it's your turn. What kind of life do you want to walk in? Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Now therefore choose life, so that you and your children may live. We're encouraged to choose life and blessing. Each day we can walk in self-criticism, a path of cursing. It's time to break that eternal self-talk off of our lives. Come on, folks. If a friend were to talk to you the way that you talk to yourself, how long would they be your friend? I like what Napoleon, remember that guy? He said this, a man who never made a mistake never made anything. Hey, you can go home now, you're all good, right? Okay, come on. Folks, can't stay here. He's called us to a life that's higher, it's sweeter, it's richer, it's an adventure, it's stronger. We can move. He doesn't want us to live in doubt and fear. We're to be defined by the resurrection. We're to be defined by the ascension. I want to walk in a blessed life to bless the people. I want to be able to be a blessing to them. I'm going to believe that Jesus, you know, no doubt it's a dangerous place to be in, folks, but what an adventure. He wants your marriages and your relationships. Folks, he's turning stuff. He's shifting stuff. I can feel it. There's stuff moving. All you got to do is get a hold of this and declare it over you. He's moving us. He's moving us from on to in. Amen? Amen? He's moving us from heaviness to joy. He's moving us from death to life. He's moving us from brokenness to wholeness. He's moving us from darkness to light. He's moving us from defeat to victory. He's moving us from shame to freedom. He's moving us from down to up, from problems to promises, from disappointments to celebrations. Come on, folks, your kids are coming home. Kill the fatted calf. Come on, get a hold of the Word of God. One of my wife was talking about a heart song. I was talking about, because all these guys are in jail, they're dying for their faith in some of these places, and they're so in love with Jesus, but they always have a heart song. And my wife has one, and she says, "What's yours, Lynn?" And I go, "Boy, I never even thought of that, but I guess that one of them would be, 'Great is thy faithfulness.'" Strength for today, new hope for tomorrow. Amen. Blessings all mine, 10,000s behind. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand. Come on, you are here today. I don't want to try to be emotional, but I'm inviting you into a wonderful life. It's a blessed life. Okay, I want to pray over you. Let's stand. Have you left behind that? To keep playing, that's good. Have you left behind those toxic situations that were keeping you from enjoying God's blessing? Have you taken the needed steps of obedience to move into His will for your life? Or if you've cursed in anger or in ignorance, repent and renounce it. There's a reversal that happens. And as you revoke those curses over words to be spoken over family or friends, there's no more effect. They're nullified. God's faithful. So I want to speak a powerful blessing over you. I'm just going to read it here, what I wrote. So just bow your head. You keep playing. You're going to get that. I pray that Lord, you will open supernatural doors in our lives today. I pray you'd save and set free. Give us a double portion of your Spirit as we take back everything that the devil has stolen. Emotional health, physical health, finances, relationships, children, jobs, homes, marriages. I cancel every plot, plan, and scheme the enemy has devised against us in the matchless name of Jesus. And I declare no weapon formed against us will prosper. I speak life into every dead situation. And I thank you, Father, that nothing is over until you say it's over. I speak prophetically into our lives and into our situations. Our health is blessed. Our marriages are blessed. Our friendships are blessed. Our finances are blessed. Our businesses are blessed. Our jobs are blessed. Our children are blessed. Our grandchildren are blessed. Our parents are blessed. Our siblings are blessed. Our ministries are blessed. And our decisions are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.